You want to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And we'll be reading verses 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. Let's stand as we read God's word. Proverbs chapter 6. I'll read verse 16. We'll read verse 17 together. And I'll read 18, and then we'll finish up on verse 19 together. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. The Bible says there, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." You may be seated.
Proverbs chapter 6 this morning. This morning's message is titled, Sticks and Stones. Sticks and Stones. Proverbs chapter 6. Read a moment ago, "These six things doth the Lord hate." And that generally is not something we think about when we think about the Lord, that he has anything that he hates. God is love, and God is the God of love. God is mercy. God is gracious. But there's also some things that God doesn't like. And here in Proverbs chapter 6, says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." And it's interesting, one deals with the face, one deals with the tongue, one the hands, one the feet, one the heart, and one with people that do certain things. The first thing that the Lord hates and is abomination is a proud look. Proud look, you know, that someone who has an impudent and cocky face, and you really can't ever tell them anything, and they don't want to listen to anybody or to any authority. That proud look, God hates a proud look. Second thing that he hates is a lying tongue. God loves the truth, but he hates lies, and he hates the tongue that spreads the lie. Let me just say, lying sends people to hell. Revelations 21, 7 and 8 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Praise the Lord, we can be saved from our lies. We can be saved from all the sin that we've committed in life by believing in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died on the cross for us. But a lie will send someone to hell. God hates a lying tongue. How many of you, as parents, do not appreciate it when your kids lie to you? Oh man, doesn't that just burn you up? Look, it burns God up too when we lie. Even if we're not lying to him or lying to somebody else, God doesn't want us to lie. He wants us to tell the truth. God hates as well. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. A murderer, someone who killed for no reason. It wasn't self-defense, someone who kills for self-gain. What comes to my mind here would be communists and communisms. Communists who kill so they can keep their authoritative rule. I think of Kim Jong-un, the North Korean dictator who fed his uncle to wild dogs because he wasn't supporting him like he thought he should. And how if they had several people they lined up in front of an anti-aircraft gun and shot them to pieces because they weren't doing exactly what he wanted. They were really innocent of any sin or wrongdoing. Leader didn't like that they weren't supporting him like he thought they should. Christians are persecuted in that country as well. And God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. God hates an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. One thing that comes to my mind here would be horror movies, like Stephen King's It. It's a wicked movie with wicked things that happen, and the heart that devised it, God doesn't like that kind of imagination. I'd also, something that comes to my mind with wicked heart that deviseth wicked imaginations would be the heart that committeth adultery, somebody who commits adultery with someone else in their heart. Lust. You know, God doesn't want that to be in our heart. Another thing that the Lord hates is feet that be swift in running to mischief. Someone who looks for an opportunity to sin and to get away with something and to get involved in sin and wickedness whenever possible. God doesn't want you to be quick to run to evil. He wants you to be quick to run from evil, just like Joseph. Amen? God also doesn't like a false witness that speaketh lies, lying on the witness stand, abusing justice, framing someone who is innocent, like your brother or sister when you're the one who stole the cookie from the cookie jar. And the last thing, these six things the Lord hates, seven are abomination. The last thing I want to focus on this morning is he that soweth discord among brethren. This sermon this morning is one of preventative maintenance. Preventative maintenance is something you do so that whatever you're preventing from, so you're preventing whatever you're doing the maintenance on from breaking down. Okay? That would mean doing a regular oil change every 3,000 miles, not when the light comes on and says oil. Right? You don't wait till the car has a problem to fix it. You prevent the problem from occurring. So you change the tires when they're close to popping, not after they pop. Are you with me? Now, I don't believe we have an issue at Victory Baptist Church with anyone that sows discord among the brethren here. And I'm going to say that's a pretty big statement for a pastor to be able to make. I believe we have a unified church. I believe we have a church of brothers and sisters in Christ who are on the same team, who want to see souls saved, who want to see the gospel spread, who want to magnify Jesus Christ, and who want to do and see God glorified. I believe that's what we have here. However, I do know that the tongue is something that's hard to control according to James, and this is a good message even for me to preventative maintenance, just to remind us that we need to be careful what it is that we say. Amen. Anyone agree with me on that? Amen. So God, it's an abomination, he that soweth discord among brethren. The seventh thing that God doesn't like. Sowing is when a farmer throws the seeds into the ground to plant the crops. And an interesting thing about seeds, they always produce crops that are bigger than the seeds that are sown. Have you ever noticed that? You can throw just one little corn seed in the ground, but it can produce a 6-foot tall corn stalk with several ears of corn and hundreds of corn seeds on each of those ears. So let me say a principle with reaping and sowing is you always reap more than you've sown. You with me? You always reap more than you've sown. Now when it comes to the area of communication, that means if you sow negative words, it's going to be a bigger reaping of a crop than just what you've sown. It's not going to produce more seeds, it's going to produce crops. Are you with me? Discord means disagreement among persons or things, between persons, differences of opinions, variance, opposition, contention, strife, any disagreement which produces angry passions, contests, disputes, litigation, or war. So a person who soweth discord plants disagreements, creates disharmony, divides unity, destroys fellowship, and that is an abomination unto God. Let me say that's a pretty big deal. Abomination is a pretty big deal. Abomination means extreme hatred or detestation. It is extremely upsetting to God when someone divides the family instead of pulling it together. God detests it when someone breaks down relationships instead of building them up and edifying them. I want you to open your Bibles to Proverbs again. Turn back to chapter 26 and verse 20. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. And keep your Bibles handy as we're going to be going to several passages this morning that speak about the tongue and unity. And let's look at this passage of Scripture. Proverbs 26, 20 says, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So, where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." All right, if you're going to have a campfire, what's something you might want to bring along with you? The wood. You remember Isaac's response as Abraham was taking Isaac up for the sacrifice on top of the mountain? And Isaac, his son, said, "Father, we have the wood, where's the sacrifice?" But, you know, if you were going to a sacrifice and you had the sacrifice and you had the altar but no wood, you're still in the same pickle. You need something to burn. You need wood to have the fire. So if there's no wood, is there going to be a fire? No. Let me say, where there is no talebearer, there's no strife. Amen. And really, the Bible compares the wood there in fire to a talebearer, because a talebearer that stirs up strife creates a big fire and a big explosion and fireworks, and is not pretty, right? A church family that is full of strife has a talebearer in it. A church family that is full of strife has a talebearer in it. I read a leadership book recently about a pastor. He was meeting with the trustees, and they brought up one church policy, and meeting with the deacons, where the deacon said, "Oh, I've heard a lot of feedback about this policy, and a lot of people are upset about it. I really think we need to change this." Another deacon spoke up immediately and said, "Oh, I've heard a lot of feedback about that too. That very same thing. I think we need to change that policy." And another deacon spoke up and said, "You know, I as well have had a lot of feedback from people about this policy. I really think we need to change it." And the pastor's thinking, "Well, if so many people have had this feedback about this policy, I guess we need to change it." And so they end up changing the church policy. Next deacon's meeting happened and asked if there's any questions or any concerns. And one deacon spoke up and said, "Well, I've heard a lot of feedback about this one issue, and I think we need to address it." And another deacon spoke up, and the pastor thought it was odd that two deacon's meetings, there's big problems. And he said to the first deacon, he said, well, who is it that approached you? And the deacon named one man's name. And the other deacon said, "Well, that's who approached me." And the other deacon said, "Well, that's who approached me." So come to find out, the whole church wasn't upset about it, just one person was. So the pastor made this rule with the deacons: from now on, if someone comes to you with a complaint, that's fine, but you'll need to say the name of the person that brought the complaint to make sure that it's a valid complaint that everyone's concerned about, not just one guy. And they had a talebearer in that church. And so they changed the policy. From that point on, they had a different policy, that whoever had voiced the concern was to be named to make sure one person wasn't causing discord. Let me just stop and say, if you don't want your name repeated about what you have expressed concern about, then what you have expressed concern about is not big enough deal to express concern about. Did you get that? If you don't want your name attached to what you express concern about, then it's really not that big a deal. If it's a big enough deal to express concern about, then it's a big enough deal to put your name to it. Right? You are responsible for your words, so take responsibility for them. I heard here previously in this church, the previous pastor had a special guest speaker in, and he came in and he had one of those, I've always wanted one of those down pillows that actually has the goose feathers in it. I've heard they're very soft. And the special speaker took a knife and he tore open the pillow, and he was just going through spreading these feathers everywhere. And I mean, the static and things just clinging to people that are down the aisle. And the pastor's like, "What in the world, is going on here?" And the special guest speaker's illustration was, once you say your words, you can't take them back. He said, "Now if I were to try to pick up all these feathers," I mean, there was feathers all the way out in the parking lot as people walked out, feathers in people's cars. In the wash, there was feathers coming out of the wash. But the point was well illustrated, that your words, once you say them, they're out there and you can't take them back. Words cannot be taken back, so be careful what words you release. One principle that I have found to be true is that whatever I say will be repeated. I was a youth pastor for 7 years. Whatever I say will be repeated. I came to find that out quick. And, be careful saying, "Don't tell anybody this." Now, this is just between me and you. I don't know what it is, but it's just something inside of us. We love having the information and the scoop. So these two people are talking, and I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know what's wrong with him. And you know what's wrong with him. And you're like, "Do you know what's wrong? They told you not to tell." So you're like, "Can we guess?" You're doing charades and Pictionary. "I didn't tell." They guessed, If you do not want it repeated, don't say it. Every time I counsel someone in my office, I know whatever I say is going to be repeated. So I'm careful what I say. Every time I speak to a young person, I know what I say to the young person will be repeated, so I'm careful as to what I say. I'm going to say that principle applies across the board. It's not if what you say will be repeated, it's when.
Yep.
It's not maybe, it will be. And a lot of times, how they repeat what you say isn't exactly what you said. So be careful you frame what you say correctly. Amen? If you do not want what you said repeated and your name attached to what was said, then the wise thing would be not to say it. Amen? A talebearer is one who bears or carries tales or the stories they have heard about someone to others. Now let me say, nobody gets upset when you brag on them to others. I tell you, he's just the best worker. And man, he's just a go-getter. And man, she is so sweet. And what a sweetheart. And so kind. She's always there for people. And you walk around the corner and hear someone talking to you about that like you. You don't storm off mad. You're like, oh, well, thank you. That's me. So tale-bearing is not telling the positives about people to others, is it? Okay? No one gets upset when you brag on them. That doesn't separate close friends. It unites them. Look at Proverbs 16, 28. Back to Proverbs chapter 16. There's a lot about the tongue in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. It says, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." Be careful of the whisperer. I do not allow my kids to whisper. My children are not allowed to keep secrets from me and my wife. And if another child wants to tell them a secret, they say, "Sure, you can tell me a secret, but I got to tell my parents." You know, funny thing? Most times kids don't want to tell my kids secrets. But be careful of the whisperer. They separate best friends from each other. And I've seen this time and time again with young ladies specifically, especially in the junior high time of life. Young ladies tend to be selfish when it comes to their friends. And if they aren't careful, that immaturity can follow them into adulthood. I've seen adult ladies who are selfish with their friend. "That's my friend. You can't talk to her. That's my friend. We only get to spend time together. You can't spend time with my friend." I'm saying a true friend does not control you. They motivate you. A true friend does not demand from you. They ask of you. A true friend does not belittle you nor manipulate you to get you to give them what they want or to get you to do what they want. A true friend does not yell at you for talking to another friend. They are not selfish in their relationship to you. They are selfless. Let's say no one gets upset when you highlight their strengths and what they contribute to the team when they aren't around. That does not divide. It strengthens. People don't get upset when you brag on their children, their spouse, or themselves, do you? How many of you parents, it just really boils you when people brag on your kids? It just ticks you off. Nobody. That's not tale-bearing. So tale-bearing would be carrying negative information that you know about someone to others and sharing that information. Proverbs 18:8 says, "The wounds of a tale-bearer, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," was said by someone trying to silence a talebearer, a scorner, or a slanderer. It was said by someone in denial, and it has been repeated by each of us in our lifetime, trying to put up a brave front because the words really do hurt. When you find out at the water cooler you're the topic of conversation and it's not bragging on your strengths and what you contribute to the company, how does that make you feel? This verse is actually emphasized in the Bible because it's repeated word for word in chapter 26 of Proverbs. Proverbs 26:22 says the exact same thing. "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." You know, the most grievous wounds I have ever received in my life were words, and from words. They were from words. I've been in a couple car accidents. I had a semi run a red light and he smashed me. 5 broken ribs, fractured pelvis in 2 places, broke my left hip, sliced my spleen, punctured kidney, bruised my heart, clasped my left lung, and I had a headache. That pain I could handle compared to what some people have said to me in my life. And then they say, be careful what you say to young people because they take everything with 100% more weight than adults do. I remember I was joking around as a ninth grader and just teasing because, you know, teenagers, we joke around. As teenagers, they joke around because they're trying to impress. They're trying to get attention and acceptance and love. And that's what everybody wants, by the way. And I was joking around and I guess I went too far. And I was trying to impress this one girl who I liked. And she looked at me and said, "You're a fool." Well, I'm trying to impress her, and the response is that I'm a fool. In my mind, there it goes. I mean, immediately, my heart was crushed. I couldn't even eat everyone else's leftover food. "Hey, Rob, you want this shirt?" When Rob was hungry, something's wrong. And I remember it was the next day, I think. It was homecoming, so we got to go. And, you know, we were decorating the gym, each class was. And I went up, and right around the center of the floor where the design is, there was that girl and a bunch of people, friends, you know. And so I wanted to be close to her, so I walk into the group. And immediately I walk into the group, everyone stops talking, and their face goes down to the floor. So I look down at the floor. It's nice. I might be naive, but I'm not stupid. Clicked pretty quickly that I was the conversation point, and it wasn't my strengths. That wounded me so deeply, I didn't eat for 3 days as a ninth grader. I really had no desire to live. I was that hurt. Now, maybe it sounds silly, but words affect us. And my mom, we were going home one day after the third day, and I hadn't eaten, I hadn't eaten anyone's leftovers, and she knew something was wrong. And we pulled up McDonald's drive-thru, and she says, "Hey, Rob, you order whatever you want." I'm like, "That's okay, Mom, I'm not hungry." She's like, "Please, Rob, order whatever you want." I said, "That's okay, Mom, I'm not hungry." She's like, "Robbie, please order something. I'm going to have to take you to the doctor. Something's wrong with you, and I don't know what to do for you." "Okay, I'll take a number 3 supersize with a Coke." I want to go to the doctor. I knew he'd say, I don't know what he'd say, but I want to tell him my problems or anyone else. Just give me a number 3 and we'll be good. But I mean words. Your words are powerful. Very powerful. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. But the tongue of the wise is health. You know, you can say words that'll pierce somebody and wound them as if you had stabbed them with a sword. And that wound is a whole lot harder to heal than a physical one. Those emotional and mental wounds sometimes never heal. They're very hard. But it says the tongue of the wise is health. So what you speak can either wound somebody or it can grow somebody. When a talebearer talks behind your back and tears you down, points out your flaws, and attacks your strengths, it's humiliating to you. It breaks your heart and crushes your soul. And let me just say, talebearers truly are some of the most insecure people that there are. Right. Insecure people talk about people negatively. Confident people talk about people positively. Insecure people look for ways to point out other people's faults, to take away the focus off of their own shortcomings, which they think everybody sees. Confident people look for ways to point out other people's victories. Look, I'm saying this from experience because at one point I was that insecure person. Insecure people think that people are always thinking about them. People that really are insecure and they come into a room and they think immediately that all eyes are on them and they all are thinking about the flaw that they know that they have, when in reality people are thinking, "Oh, that's a nice dress. Oh, I like his hairstyle." They have no clue. But your insecurity makes you think that when you walk into the room, all of a sudden all eyes are on you. And when you sit down, people are still thinking about you. And you're looking around to see if who's looking and who's worried about what you're doing. That kind of insecurity is very destructive. It's very destructive for you because you can't relax with that kind of insecurity. And many times the only way to relax is by telling other people about other people's faults, because you think if you can get them to think about their faults, they won't look at your faults. When in reality, they have no idea what's wrong with you. Now, let me just say this, we're all a mess. We are a mess. Good night. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes, and you don't want to be in mine. At the end of the day, if we had to choose whose mess to choose, we'd choose our own mess, but we're a mess. Amen? So don't worry about what other people think about your mess. They're too concerned with their own mess to worry about your mess. But let me just say, if you'll start helping other people with their mess, you'll stop focusing on your mess. If you'll start helping other people carry their burdens, you'll stop focusing on yours and think everybody else is looking and seeing your burdens. Okay? Insecurity, let me just say, uses just as much pride as those who are proud use. For all you think about is an insecurity, all you think about yourself. Insecurity fools those who have it, that they aren't prideful, because they don't think much of themselves. I think a lot of myself, but I don't think much of myself. I just think about how much I'm not much. But when you stop and think about it, all you're thinking about is yourself. You might just be thinking all the time, I'm nothing, I'm worthless, I'm not as good as them are, but who are you thinking about? And what's that called? Selfishness, which is related to pride. Insecurity takes just as much pride as someone who has a proud look. Listen up. Don't be a talebearer. When can you share a problem without it being talebearing? Number one. One instance where you can share problems or concerns or thoughts about other people with someone else without being talebearing is when a husband talks to his wife, or when a wife talks to her husband. Husbands and wives, you can tell each other anything you want to say, and it won't be gossip. You know why? Bible says that when you're married, you're one flesh. Now, if you stand around talking to yourself, how's that gossip? Husbands and wives can communicate what they think and feel about anybody and anything, and it's not gossip or talebearing because you're one flesh. You're just talking to yourself. Are you with me? A second instance when you can talk to someone else about someone else's flaws is when it protects. Unfortunately, there's something called Megan's Law. And people that hurt children and abuse children get put in that law to warn the public to keep your kids safe when they're around these people, because they have a hard time controlling themselves. So if someone's on Megan's Law and they come into our church, then for me to go to the people in the church and say, I need you to be careful because they're on Megan's Law, that's not gossip, that's to protect an information. They're on that for a reason. Okay? So you can, when it's not talebearing is when you talk to your spouse. When it's not talebearing is when it's meant to protect. Third, when you're telling the problem solver. A good litmus test of whether or not you are talebearing is this question you should ask yourself. Is the person I'm telling this able to do anything about it? Will they be able to fix the problem, or does it only add to the problem by me telling them? Look, that means you're a supervisor at work, and the other two supervisors are mad at each other, and so this guy won't send his paperwork in because he's mad at him, but him not sending his paperwork to him means he can't send his paperwork to you, so you can't get your job done. So you go to the boss and say, look, just want to let you know, Bob and Steve are at it again. Bob's mad with Steve. Steve's not able to get me his stuff, so I'm not going to be on schedule. I'm just letting you know. Is that talebearing, telling the boss? No, because the boss isn't going to go and divide those two. What's he going to go do? Unify them and put them back together. So if you're telling the boss, or if you're telling the pastor of the church what's happening with some members that are some sheep that are kicking each other, he can go over and say, hey, knock it off. Look, you can tell your parent, she pulled her hair and she smacked her in the face, and the parent can go correct it and unify it. But if you're not telling the problem solver, truly all you're doing is adding to the problem and more people that know it, because the more people that know it means that, let's say the person gets the problem fixed. In these people's mind, it's not fixed. So what are they doing to this person in their mind? Judging them? You know, if the less people you tell, the less people who think lower of the person that you told about. Are you with me? Something else that happens when you talk negatively about someone, you tear them down in esteem in that person's eyes. And many times that esteem never comes back. Unless they can fix the problem, they don't need to know. And the fourth one, I say this cautiously, the fourth time when you share a problem without it being terrifying would be for prayer. Now I say it cautiously because some people use that as the inroad just to say, pray about Sister So-and-so. She's got this wrong and this wrong, and she's been doing this, 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 and this, and this. And you list off so many things, number one, that they can't remember all to pray about. But number two, now they know everything that's wrong with that lady. Whereas instead, maybe say, pray for Sister So-and-so. She's having a hard time with some things in her life. You ask for prayer, but you don't got to be specific if it's embarrassing. Pray for Sister So-and-so. Her and her husband had a fight, and he threw the rice pot, and she smacked him with the spatula. And then the police were called, and they came, and then the chihuahua bit the police officer, and they called the dog pound, and they all ended up in the emergency room. How about pray for Sister So-and-so, you know, just for some family issues. God knows what they are. You don't have to say, dear Lord, please help Sister So-and-so because her husband threw the rice and she slapped with the spatula and the dog bit the police officer and ended up in the ER and the dog. You don't have to fill God in on the details, but prayer for that family still is effective even though you don't know all the details. Are you with me? Are y'all? Is it too hot in here? Too cold in here? All right, we're almost done. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let me just say, before you speak, ask yourself this question. Are you about to kill someone's testimony or build it up with what you're about to communicate? Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Control how much you say. You don't have to give all the nitty-gritty. Okay? Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. In other words, if you continue to talk and 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 talk, eventually you're going to say something you shouldn't have said. You know what that means? Limit how much you say. Be a life giver with your words. Proverbs 10:20-21 says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. You know, I like being around the person when they walk in the room, a smile comes on your face, and oh, hey, it's so-and-so. Because you know they're going to come and encourage you. And they're always, you have something good to say. And then there's other people that walk in the room, and you're like, oh no, they're here. What are they going to say now? What'd I do wrong this time? What are they upset about now? Who are they upset with this time? Be one of those people when you walk in the room, they're like, oh, they're here, not... just leaving, right? Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Are you feeding life into someone, building them up, or tearing them down and destroying them? Proverbs 16:13 says, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. Look, God will stop the mouth of those who are slanderers and talk bad about their neighbor. Psalms 101 verse 5 says, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, who privately slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and proud heart will not I suffer. Those who abide with God control their tongue. Proverbs 15:1-3 says, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Let me just tell you something. It's a whole lot easier to remember the truth than a lie. Some people tell so many lies, they can't remember what the truth is. Let me just say, when you tell a lie, it doesn't just injure the person you're talking about or the person you're talking to, it also hurts you. Let me say, you can't have peace. Because one thing, I can't hardly remember people's names. Let alone try to remember, you know, if I had to remember who I lied to about what and what I said, man. It's a whole lot easier just to remember the truth and tell the truth. But he that backbiteth not with his tongue shall be with the Lord. It says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. All deals with words. Leviticus 19:16 says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. God says that. He doesn't want you bearing tales. Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Be careful what information you share. Proverbs 20:19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Be careful of the flatterer. Now, there's a difference between flattering and encouragement. When they're telling you something that you know is not true about you, they're flattering you. Oh, you're the best preacher I ever heard in my entire life. My entire life. I've never heard a sermon like that before. That was just absolutely amazing. And man, where do you get your clothes? They're so awesome. And you're so skinny. Oh, there's one right there. Caught you. When people just go on and on and on about you and they're just trying to find things to flatter you about, careful of that person. I have found that people who flatter me the most with a lot of things that aren't true are the ones who talk about me the most with a lot of things that aren't true. Be careful of the flatterer. An encourager is fine. That was a good sermon, Pastor. Thank you. But if you're standing there for 20 minutes going on about it and my exegesis and how I start to wonder a little bit. Be an encourager, but careful of your flattery. Okay? And let's close by looking at the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 3. There are qualifications for spiritual leaders that regards what you say. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. So 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And verse number 8 says, likewise must the deacons be grave and not what? Double-tongued. You know what that means? It means they don't always tell the truth. Depends on who they're talking to. In order to be a deacon, you're not supposed to be double-tongued. Not giving them much wine. And then skip down to verse 11. It says, even so must their wives be grave, not what? Not slanderers. So spiritual leadership requires that you say the right kind of thing and that you are a life builder, not a destructor. You are a builder up. Your words are a tree of life. You're not tearing people down. Men, you are leading by example by the words you do and don't say about others and to others. Ladies, you are teaching the ladies younger than you how to properly communicate. Last passage we'll look at, Ephesians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So turn back just a couple books there to Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to look at verse 29 and 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. I want you to read this out loud with me. So Ephesians 4, 29 and 30, and verse 29. Ready? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let me just say, I'll be the first to say, I don't say everything right all the time about everybody. But also be the first to say that as soon as I realize that, I'll stop and apologize. And try to be quick not to do that in the future. You come and counsel with me, that's between me and you. As a pastor, I'm not, unless you break the law, then I got to share it with somebody. But we need to make sure that we don't let any corrupt communication come out of our mouth. That means talking negatively about somebody, bearing tales about somebody, and tearing them down. But we need to do good, the use of edifying. We need to build people up, and what we speak brings grace to the hearers. Because there is verse 30, one main reason. When you tear down other people with your words, who also do you grieve? The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. So be careful what you say. Proverbs 25:11 says this: a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Be one of those people when you come in the room, say, oh, sister so-and-so is here. Brother so-and-so is here. So glad they're here today. Why? Because they encourage me with what they say. Not, oh. Okay. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words hurt worse. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Ask the pianist to come to the piano. We have a invitation this morning. First, I just want to say, God loves you. He wants you to come to heaven and be with Him when you die. He has died for every lie you've ever told and every tale that you've ever bore to somebody else. He's died for every wicked imagination of your heart and every time your feet was swift to run to mischief. He died when your hands shed innocent blood, and He also died for the proud look that you've had in your life. And He will forgive you for all of those if you'll believe in Him and accept Him as your Savior. Come unto Me, He said, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Get rest for your soul this morning. If you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and get that secured. Next, my call to you as a Christian, just to recommit to say things that'll build people up, that'll be an encouragement and a tree of life. Be careful how much you say, and be careful that the words you say, whatever you sow is going to grow bigger than what you've sown. Let's make sure that we are someone people want to be around because we're an edifier. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your word and how it builds us up and edifies us every time that we read it. May we apply it to our lives this morning. And Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know You as a personal Savior, may they come to the altar and meet an altar worker, Lord, and be shown from the Bible how easily they can be saved and their sins be forgiven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.